This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Okay, well, welcome to Democrat leadership response to the governor's State of the State. I'm Billy Sutton, District 21 Senator and Minority Leader, and with me is Spence Hawley, and he's the Minority Leader on the House side. We just wanted to give a few comments and then take any questions you might have. We'll start out. I was pleasantly surprised to hear some discussions and a focus on the importance of education and workforce development, especially really at every level of education. And so I was happy to see that. And it also shows the importance of investments in higher education, K-12, and in my opinion, a direction we need to go is a discussion about early childhood education in South Dakota and investments in that realm. And so pleasantly surprised to hear discussions about that. I wish I would have heard more about transparency in government and openness in government. It's something that we should always be working on and cognizant of. And it will be a focus of our caucus as we move through the legislative session about creating more transparency and more openness in state government. And finally, the piece that I think that we missed and had a real opportunity to bring some trust back to government, especially in the legislature, is to address campaign finance reform. If you all remember from last session with the repeal of IM-22, that is the one area that was not addressed. There was a work group this summer that I served on, but really no substantive changes are coming in that realm as far as limiting and reforming campaign finance. And so I would like to and hope that we move forward in that discussion to uphold the will of the voters. Even from last session. So with that, I'll turn it over to Spence for some of his comments, and we'll stand by for questions.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Sutton. Spence Hawley, out of District 7, out of Brookings. I agree with what Billy said. It was the discussion about education and workforce. After being up here for 8 years, both of us, we focused our discussions the last 8 years on this topic, and it was good to see the numbers that the governor brought out, the importance of K-12 education and the importance of higher ed and vo-tech training. So we're totally supportive of it. The frustrating part is when you link this discussion today with the budget discussion that we had in December, education's important, but we aren't going to give them a raise this year again. We aren't going to give the Board of Regents a raise, and we're not going to give our state employees a raise for the second year in a row. So that's the disconcerting part about it. And there's been no plan to have a discussion. How can we potentially long-term solve this problem? And I think that's what was missing. A lot of good things have happened in the 8 years, and we've been involved, and we've supported most all the governor's primary initiatives, from the expanding education funds to the criminal justice initiative, the juvenile justice reform. We've been supportive of all those programs. But the one frustration I see after 8 years is that we come back here every year, as we discussed in the budget meeting, and we got a budget crisis again, and we've got no money. And there's no long-term discussion, long-term leadership. How do we solve these problems going forward? A couple other real quick notes before we get into it. The Building South Dakota brought the bill last year. We did that. The funding was drying up on Building South Dakota, and we tried to push the discussion last year. The original program was set to be at about a $10 million funding level for Building South Dakota. The governor's proposed his alternate funding program this year of $4.9 million. And a lot of that is taking existing money. There's no new money being thrown in this, except out of the South Dakota Housing Authority, which means it's not available for somewhere else in South Dakota Housing Authority. So that's a little frustration level on Building South Dakota. And secondly is the Housing Opportunity Fund. I think you know we had the interim study committee with the legislature this year. They've got, I believe it's 4 or 5 bills to try to get more money into that fund. And I don't see this proposal increasing it. A couple other discussion items, the Medicaid discussion about the workforce. You know, we've been trying to have this Medicaid discussion again for the last 6 years, in the legislature and more from a Medicaid expansion discussion. And I really thought we had it 2 years ago until the change of administration, and it dried up. And so now the discussion comes the work requirement. I understand that the work requirement will affect a very minimal number of people. I understand that, but I don't know a lot of specifics outside that it's going to they're going to apply for a waiver for Minnehaha and Pennington County. And so some of those details, we need to get a lot more details and look at a lot of those issues. But unless we've got some other discussion items, we'll open it up for questions.
No, that we'll be bringing legislation from, at least I have a couple pieces that I hope to get bipartisan support on to open up more government records, especially emails. It was a part of a discussion during Government Operations and Audit Committee this interim, and then also a piece of legislation to increase the time frame of which fiscal documents are kept and records retention issues. That was one of the conversations and frustrations with on the GOAC committee when you start talking about the GearUp scandal. That GearUp's been around for a lot longer than 5 years. Well, it turns out the Department of Education only keeps records for 5 years. And that's very problematic when you're trying to go back and audit and find answers to some of the issues we've had to deal with. And so I'm hoping to see more in that vein of making it more possible for us to audit and get the information that we need to find answers.
It's on and everything. Good. Is there any other questions? Yeah, I'll start that one off. I was on the task force we had this summer, and the hearings we held across the state on the non-meandering waters. And the original task force, when we came out with our bill, had a sunset of 2022 on it. And then, as you know, during we brought it back into special session, that was the bone of contention that we spent 5 hours off the floor debating. And they wanted to sunset it in 2018 this year in June 30th. And so I wholeheartedly support the governor's extension of the sunset to 2021. The truth is that we haven't had enough time to evaluate the issues from it. Half the issues from our non-meandered water with sportsmen landowners is during ice fishing season. And we're being voting on it, and a lot of them are just getting on the ice for the first time last week or two here. So we need to extend this. We need to work with it. I visited with the department, secretary of Game, Fish, and Parks, and what issues that they're seeing. And he says, we just aren't getting a lot of complaints at all from the sportsman side. He said, we got a few landowners, but he says it hasn't been anything we haven't been able to manage. They just came out with the rules in October for the signage, and so that was just finalized. So we need to extend this and see what's happening. I understand we did not have a perfect solution from a landowner side, and we did not have a perfect solution from the sportsman side, but I think we've got a solution that's 90%, and we need to then work with it and see where other problems are going to come from. Is there any other questions?
Will the Democrats be putting forth a legislative agenda of their own?
Go ahead and down.
Yeah, I think as the...
I better repeat it.
Oh, the question was, will the Democrats be putting out a legislative agenda of our own? We will be coming up with some similar legislation to what we had last year, which was our opportunity agenda. And so we'll have kind of a focus on that again, but then we're also going to have a focus on transparency and openness and accountability in state government. We'll have multiple bills on that as well. And then hoping to kind of have a little bit of a workforce development package of our own, an economic development package of our own as well. And so we'll be coming up with those bills as we go along, and we'll keep you posted as they get dropped.
And again, the discussion on the Medicaid and the workforce requirement, that was always, as we've gone through the last 4 years, 5 years here on the expansion, that was always a requirement that wanted to be put on by the other side. And it wasn't even allowed as a waiver before. So this is a new twist with a new administration allowing the potential of a waiver for it. But yes, there's concerns, but I don't know enough in details to really talk specifically about what would work or would not work. And I agree with the governor. Our Medicaid program is so restrictive in South Dakota. And it's so difficult to get on the Medicaid program now that it doesn't affect very many people that could potentially be working anyhow. And you saw the numbers, 80,000 of our 120,000 is children that you eliminate. Another 32,000 were people that are disabled or elderly and without income and can't work. So when you start stripping away the number of people this might affect, I don't think it's going to be a very large number. But again, we need to just see more details on it, and before I can talk very well on what the results are going to be. Unless you got comments on it,
just that I think we, as well as most every other South Dakotan, values hard work, and so I think we want to make sure that that is known, that we all value hard work in South Dakota. We all want to make sure that these programs have integrity and that they're not being abused. What we are concerned about in some instances is procedurally, how would that work? Do people get dropped off that are working, that need health care coverage, and that are just trying to provide for their families? I mean, that would be a concern and an unintended consequence of a policy like this and a waiver like this. So I think we all want to make sure that we're protecting the people that are counting on this coverage.
You know, the thing that we don't talk about is that just 2 years ago we were talking about an expansion and the 50,000 people in South Dakota that would affect positively to have an expansion of Medicaid. And we, back then, the discussion was around the working poor who were working and they're just poor and they just can't afford their health care. And they didn't qualify because of the 100% requirements under the ACA Act of 100% of federal poverty level. So we need to still keep focus on that discussion, I think. And we need to not focus on the 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 that this work requirement might be affecting. But we still need to keep focused on that there's a great number of South Dakotans out there that can't afford health care. And this doesn't do anything to take us towards that step to solve that problem. Any other questions? Well, as you know, just in closing, quick comment, we're going to have a press conference every week, and I believe we're starting one Friday on it on Fridays, and we rotate with the Republicans on the time with the Democrats and flip the times every week. So hopefully we can keep you apprised a little bit of what's going on in this session and what our viewpoint is of what's going on. I don't know what kind of session it's going to be. There's no money to spend. There's no major initiative out there. So we'll see what boils up as we go down through the weeks. But thanks for your time today.
And, you know, since the money conversation is a little bit limited and there's no big initiatives, it's a perfect opportunity for our caucus and our friends across the aisle to talk about accountability and transparency in state government. Perfect opportunity in front of us. There will also be, a work group being put together to talk about sexual harassment and harassment in general in the state legislature and in the Capitol. And I think that's something that is a worthwhile conversation. I know the Legislative Procedures Committee was discussing that this morning, and we'll continue to talk about that as we move forward in the coming weeks. And make sure that we are in a work environment that is conducive to find common sense solutions for South Dakota. So that's what we'll be looking to do. I think it would be more about our rules, our legislative rules, and what those rules look like to make sure they're concise, but as well as addressing the different types of harassment that are out there. But most importantly, I think to create a friendly environment to report when these types of issues come up. And that, to me, has been what I've taken away from some of the complaints that we've had in the public, is that there isn't a good reporting process. And so that's what I hope that this work group can come up with and find some solutions in a bipartisan way that makes sense for the Capitol and for South Dakotans.
Will that work group come together this session and try to implement policy for this year, or is it for the following year?
That's my understanding for this year. The work group is going to try to come up with some rules that fit.
Senator Greenfield is the presiding chair of Legislative Procedures this year, as it flips every other year, and he's agreed to set up the subcommittee of Legislative Procedures. And in the discussions, he said it may get a report back in 2 days, or it may take 2 weeks, it may take a month or two, and we may do it at the end of session. But the intent is to have that discussion here during session, get a group of legislators together from a subcommittee, and along with our LRC staff, and just look at our legislative procedures as a whole and make sure that it makes sense and how we've worded it, and that is doing what we want to see happen up here.
And we'll also be having the training here coming up shortly as well, and I think that's worthwhile for all legislators to attend. I know that we're telling our caucus that you need to be there. And I would expect that our friends on the other side of the aisle are doing the same. And so we'll be looking forward to that. And maybe that will also move forward the conversation about what our policy should look like based on what those trainings are. And hopefully some eyes are open to how we should be doing business here in Pierre. I don't know that he specified. Yeah. I would assume it would be a joint.
Yeah, my impression when I visit with him is going to be a joint subcommittee. So right. both sides of the aisle and the House and Senate also.
Very good. Okay. Well,
thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.